Well, praise the Lord for the special tonight. What a tremendous job the choir has done. And the understanding of Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ. There was a day that the very Son of God came to this earth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I got one verse I want to read to you tonight out of the book of Luke in chapter 19, and it says this: For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Father, for what we've already received in song and even in drama. But God, as we put all that together, it's points to your truths from your word. And I pray as we just spend a couple minutes looking at this verse, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us here. I pray, God, that we would continue to sense your presence in this place and you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. To seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus himself taught this right after the conversion of Zacchaeus, a very familiar passage of scripture, a story in the Bible about Zacchaeus. The Bible says, first of all, in verse 2, and behold, Zacchaeus, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Jesus presented, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and it was after the presentation of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus would have known that he was a sinner. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was a publican. A publican was a Jewish tax collector for the Roman government. The publicans were hated by other Jews. The publicans were known to be dishonest. The publicans were openly called sinners. Zacchaeus would have seen himself as a sinner. And I tell you, that's one of the first things that God would have us to see in ourselves is the purpose for Jesus coming to seek and to save that which was lost. We have to see ourselves. We have to view ourselves as being lost. We have to view ourselves as being sinners. The Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. That's what Christ himself presented to us, that we must see ourselves as sinners. Because as you see yourself as a sinner, you understand that the Bible also teaches us that the wage of the sinner, the payment for sin, is death. That's separation from God. That's total separation from heaven. And so as Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, we have to see ourselves as in need of a Savior. If there was any other way that we could have forgiveness of our sins, if there was any other way that we could go to heaven outside of Jesus coming and becoming that sacrificial lamb, then it takes away from what Christ has done. There is no other way. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and the lost need to see themselves as sinners. The Bible goes on to say in verse 3 and 4 that Zacchaeus was actually seeking Jesus. In verse 3 it says, and he, Zacchaeus, sought to see Jesus, who he was and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. See, Zacchaeus saw himself as a sinner in need of a Savior. And Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, possibly heard that Jesus was a friend of sinners. For he was. He even loved the publicans. He would actually die for the sins of all humanity, no matter what they had done. He loved him. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to view Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus speaks to Zacchaeus in the midst of a crowd. In verse 5 it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. In the midst of a crowd, Zacchaeus sensed that Jesus was looking and talking to him. It was like he was the only one there. Zacchaeus, a sinner, comes under conviction of the Spirit of God and meets Jesus, the Savior. Well, when we come to that place in the midst even of a congregation like this, in the midst of a crowd, God knows exactly who we are and what we have need of. And when God convicts our heart and reveals to us our need of salvation, it's like there's no one else there. It's as if we're the only ones. As we sought to know Jesus Christ, he also seeks to know us. Yeah. The Bible goes on to say in verse 6, and he made haste. Zacchaeus himself made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus received what Christ had for him. He received him to come to his house, to enter into his life, and he received him joyfully. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there's rejoicing with that. Once you come to know that as you're seeking the Savior and he is seeking you, and you come face to face with him, and it's like you're the only one there, and he convicts your heart, and you call upon the name of the Lord to save you. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is rejoicing in that, to know that my sins have been forgiven. My debt to sin has been erased. Jesus paid a sin debt that I owe and could not pay. He's given to me a gift of everlasting life. He's given to me opportunity to be redeemed, be reconciled to an almighty God, and have everlasting life. You say, well, did he get saved? Did it take, when I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and ask him to come into my heart, did I get saved? I love this because he gives us another verse here. And it said in verse 8, the Bible says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's the evidence of salvation would follow Zacchaeus receiving Jesus joyfully. The evidence is something that has taken place inside of us. You might be the only one that knows it. But when you receive Jesus Christ, things start changing from the inside out. For in Christ we become a new creature. Old things are past and all things becoming new. There will be a leading to do right by others that we have wronged. There will be an inner presence of God that will never leave us nor forsake us. That will convict us of our sins and lead us in the paths of righteousness. When we receive Jesus Christ, he comes within us through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. In closing, in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. As Zacchaeus received Jesus Christ, He sent the Spirit of God to dwell within him, the Holy Spirit of God, and that would seal him as it does each and every one of us that receive Jesus as our Savior. And then it says, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is there evidence of salvation in our lives? Like Zacchaeus, Jesus, no doubt, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you received him? The choir presented a tremendous message concerning Jesus coming as a babe, starting at Christmas, the day that we've set aside to acknowledge that Jesus came. He came to be a sacrificial lamb. Some 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, that sacrificial lamb, the only begotten Son of God, went to Calvary's cross to pay your sin debt. And now he's seeking you to save that which was lost. The question tonight, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is he speaking to you now? Have you had a time in your life that you can look back to know that you've done what the Bible says, not what a religion or denomination says, but you've done what the Bible says a person must do to know that you're saved. And being saved, receive the gift of God, which is everlasting life. Is he speaking to you tonight? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. At the end of every service, we want to give an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God might have spoken to you about. If you're lost, if you cannot go back to a point in time in your life when you realize that you were a sinner in need of a Savior and called upon the name of the Lord to save you, listen to me, that could be right here tonight. You can leave here tonight having confidence. And God wants you to know that you have everlasting life. Don't leave here tonight without having that assurance. An invitation allows you to have an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. And I trust if God has spoken to you about salvation that you'll come and let somebody take a Bible and share with you what the Bible says you must do to be saved. If you are saved, maybe it's a need of being baptized. Maybe it's the need of being a part of a local called out assembly of God, a church. Maybe it's a need to just forgive, whatever it might be. Don't turn away from the conviction of God, but turn toward it. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we love you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've received here tonight. And Lord, even as we look to the verse that Jesus has given to us and understanding why he came, I pray, God, that as Zacchaeus, as an example, that we would likewise seek you and receive you as our personal Lord and Savior, if need be, tonight. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.